Good morning, everyone. So good to see you. I mean, every time the Christmas season comes, I love to see this beautifully decorated sanctuary. It's so beautiful and so cozy being in here. I extend warm welcome to each and every one of you who has come to worship with us this morning, and I pray that each of you will have a visit from the Holy Spirit and even from an angel. I am about to share a message that I have never officially preached on. It's about the guardian angels. And since this is a topic that some of you may not be familiar with or may not even believe, I have to have a lot of biblical ground. So we're going to have a time of fun studying the Bible this morning. But let me first begin with a joke. A Hollywood director was shooting a big budget movie near an Indian reservation in the desert. One day, an old Indian chief in his grand outfit showed up to him and said, "Tomorrow rain." His appearance inspired reverence, and his deep voice carried an authority. But the director had a doubt about it. Sure enough, the next day it rained. A few days later, the old Indian chief on horseback hurried to the location, stood next to the director, and announced, "Tomorrow storm." So the director ordered his crews to secure all the equipment and brought a temporary halt to filming. Sure enough, the following day, there was a terrible storm. The filming would have suffered a considerable loss if it weren't for the chief's warning. The Indian chief's magical ability to predict weather hugely impressed the director, and he told his secretary to put the tribesmen on the payroll. Thanks to the unconventional assistance from the chief, the filming progressed without interruption. However, after ensuing successful forecast, the Indian didn't show up for several weeks. Eventually, the director sent for him, saying, "I have to shoot a big scene tomorrow, and I am relying on you. What's the weather going to be like?" The old Indian shrugged his shoulders. "Don't know. Radio broken." The Indian chief appeared to be like a messenger with a supernatural power. He could foretell the weather, about which the director knew nothing. But in the end, he was no different than any man who had to rely on a man-made device. Is there such a thing as supernatural messengers who could tell what would befall you? The Bible says, angels are such messengers. Three angels played paramount roles during the first Christmas. The first angel was Gabriel. Gabriel appeared to the priest Zechariah while on priestly duty and foretold him that his wife would become pregnant and bear a son whose name should be John. 6 months later, Gabriel went to Mary and told her she would be the bearer of the Son of God. Right after Jesus was born, another angel appeared to shepherds in the field near Bethlehem and broke the birth news. Shortly after the visit from the Magi, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, warned him of Herod's threat, and told him to escape to Egypt. The arrival of the long-prophesied Messiah was a pivotal moment in history. Salvation before the era of the Messiah was only possible through compliance with so many codes of conduct. Therefore, salvation was almost impossible because of human sinful nature. But the Messiah's arrival opened the way to salvation by his redemption. The world awaited the beginning of the new era for millennia, and angels were entrusted with heralding the dawning of the Messianic age. But there was more. The angels continued to appear at very critical moments of the Messiah. At the age of 30, Jesus was getting ready for his public ministry. His first step was preparation for ministry by fasting for 40 days. Satan tempted Jesus when Jesus became the most vulnerable and weak from fasting. Jesus successfully rebutted the temptation, and angels came and attended Jesus. Another moment of human weakness was found when Jesus faced the cross. In the Olive Garden, Jesus was in so much pain and prayed so hard, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. At this hour of trial, an angel appeared to Jesus and strengthened him. On Easter morning, an angel rolled back the stone entrance to the tomb and sat on it. The angel said to Mary Magdalene and Mary that Jesus rose from the dead and will meet his disciples in Galilee. Two angels appeared to the disciples after the ascension of Jesus and told them that Jesus will return in the same way they saw him go into heaven. And Jesus said that all the angels will accompany him when he will come back to the earth in glory. The Bible speaks of the presence of angels at every watershed moment during the life of Jesus. Before the first Christmas, at the time of temptation, when he was praying in the Garden of Olives during his final week, in the tomb on Easter morning, after his ascension, and at his return. In my opinion, this forms a ground for the presence of guardian angels in the life of believers. The angels appear throughout the life of Jesus, and to me that speak of the guardian angels in the life of believers in the same fashion. The guardian angel stayed with the believer throughout his or her life journey here on earth, as angels did during the life of Jesus. Now, the Bible has many other references to guardian angels, and I'm going to just give you three references. The first one is Jesus' word. Speaking of children, Jesus mentioned their angels. He said, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." The word of Jesus indicates that children have appointed angels who stay with them. The second reference is Psalm 91:11. Which says, "He shall give angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." This is what actually Satan quoted when he tempted Jesus. This verse provides a couple of roles of guardian angel to charge over us and keep us. Thirdly, a guardian angel accompanied the people of Israel in the Sinai desert and led them into the promised land. In Exodus 23, God spoke to the people through Moses. "I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. This word of God to the people recognizes a guardian angel, and the people's need to listen to his guidance. Now, as we know, two angels in the Bible have names and distinct tasks. The angel Michael is the archangel and the warrior. The Christmas angel Gabriel is a messenger. And actually, you know, Gabriel is not, this is not the first time that Gabriel appeared. Gabriel appeared during the time of Daniel while he was in the Babylonian captivity. He appeared to Daniel and spoke of the restoration of Jerusalem and the appearance and suffering of the Messiah. Isn't that interesting? Gabriel mentioned about the coming of the Messiah, and his role here is the same. Gabriel spoke of the first Christmas, the arrival of the Messiah, to Mary. Guardian angels share common tasks with Michael and Gabriel. They fight against the evil on behalf of believers. They carry messages from God, but they cover more roles. They are God's agent to carry out God's mission and purpose in the life of believers. They strengthen believers in their weaknesses, protect them from harm's way, help them fulfill God's will, and guide them throughout their earthly journey. The Protestant tradition does not talk about angels often, not to mention a guardian angel. An angel is not a frequent topic of our conversations and not popular studies of the faith. But the Bible testifies they are real. And maybe not all, but some believers at the least do encounter guardian angels in apparent manners. John G. Patton was a missionary in the New Hebrides Islands, currently known as Vanuatu, which is located east of Australia. Hostile natives surrounded his mission headquarters one night, intent on burning the Pattons out and killing them. Pattons and his wife prayed all that night. At dawn, they were amazed to see the attackers turn and leave. A year later, the chief of that very tribe was converted to Christianity. Patton then asked him what had kept them and his men from burning down the house and killing them that night. The chief asked Patton a return question. Who were all those men you had with you there? Patton told him there had been no one except his wife and himself. But the chief insisted they had seen hundreds of men standing guard, big men in shining garments with drawn sword. And there are actually many, many other instances. In conclusion, guardian angels are God's messengers to individual believers. I mean, do you believe that you have given the guardian angel? I've never seen one. But the Bible says we do. What messages do they bring? King Ahaziah was hostile toward the prophet Elijah and asked Elijah to come to him. An angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and do not be afraid of the king." When Gideon was fighting against Midianites, an angel of the Lord appeared and said to him, "I will be with you. Peace, do not be afraid." The angel assured Gideon of victory. The angel Gabriel told Zechariah great news of his future son after he and his wife long passed the age of childbearing. He announced to Mary the most excellent news of the Messiah's arrival through her. In all these instances, the angels carry messages of calmness, confidence, peace, God's presence, and favor. God appointed guardian angels to each of us to deliver his message. What messages would they have for us? As we read, we know that Gabriel said to Mary, "You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. Nothing is impossible with God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you." And I'm confident that God's messages for us through the guardian angels would be similar along that line. So let us hear the voice of angels for each of us this morning. Do not feel down. Do not fear. God is with you. God has a plan for you. Amen.